We're learning this week about insults, calling people names, hurting their feelings, humiliating them. In English, we have a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Obviously, we know the Torah's perspective is not like that. We know there are various biblical prohibitions, Lashon Hara, Anas Dvarim, Losonu Ish Es Amiso. There's a lab about hurting somebody's feelings. In this Sif and Shulchan Aruch, we're focusing on the consequences if you do. Punishments, criminal, civil, nidui, excommunication, or compensation. The halachic parameters of the chiyuv to pay somebody if you illegitimately insult him, hurt him, hurt his feelings, and generally call him names. Now, we know the Gemara says, Baisho b'dvar mispater, mi'ikra din, midina de Gemara. If you don't physically strike him, if you just call him a name, there's no chiyuv, but there are takanas, the Gaonim, the Rishonim saw the need to not let people get away with this kind of insulting behavior, therefore they made takanas. I want to discuss tonight two very important and interesting points, parameters of this chiyuv to pay for insulting somebody. One of them is, while the law varies from country to country, in the United States, can't say American when we have Americans who are not from the United States, but in the United States, in particular, we have a fairly strong principle called truth is an absolute defense against libel. If you say the truth and you can prove that you said the truth, then that's it. There's no claim for libel. Nobody can sue you for anything. The truth is the truth, and there's never an isser in saying the truth, basically, except for national security, maybe. But in general, there's never a prohibition against speaking the truth, no matter how insulting, no matter how ugly it is. Now, obviously, again, halacha we don't have. The halacha lashon hara is still asur. But the question is,
but that's not actually true. For the HIPAA rules and the doctor rules and the psychiatrist rules, you can't speak the truth.
Okay, right. So there are confidentiality rules. If something is told to you in confidence and if your profession requires confidentiality, that's true. There are certain exceptions, national security exceptions. Right, it's not absolutely true, but in terms of classic libel and slander, no matter how insulting something is, if it's true, then there's no law. There's no case. So in halacha, we have what seems to be a similar principle, even though it's still an avera, obviously, but in terms of the civil or criminal consequences, we seem to have a similar rule. The Ramah says, all the way at the end of Sif Lamed Ches, Hakari l'chavero eved or mamzer, if someone calls someone else an eved or a mamzer, v'hu emes, and it's true, he is an eved or a mamzer, pater. And then the Ramah starts talking about the burden of proof, who has to prove it, what's the default presumption, but the halacha, at least, the rule is that if it's true, there's no claim. That seems to very much be corresponding to the United States rule that truth is a defense against libel. It's not so simple, however. Pesachei Tshuva, other achronim bring that at least two major achronim disagree. The Pesachei Tshuva brings the Shvus Yaakov and the Chavos Yar. If some of you will get to it this week, it's the Tshuvas are excerpted briefly. They both say no, absolutely not. If just because it's true, you're still chayav for insulting somebody. What does the Ramah mean? They say the Ramah is talking about something which A, can never change, personal status like Eved or Mamzer, besides being insulting, there are halachic consequences. You can't marry an ordinary Jew. So it's important to preserve, to keep track, to know who's an Eved or a Mamzer so nobody should marry them. Also, the flip side of that is there's no chance of tshuva. Once an Eved or Mamzer, always an Eved or Mamzer. However, they say ordinary bad behavior, criminal behavior, anti-Torah behavior, first of all, there's no obvious halachic consequence. You can still marry the person, even though a Rasha is pasul, has certain statuses, but it isn't as important to keep track of in the daily life. And B, it can change, and we have an optimistic view of human behavior that certainly a Talmud Chacham or a Tzaddik, there's a Chazak he'll do tshuva, and even a regular person, we hope, Hashem waits for him to do tshuva. So it's not entirely clear from the Achronim which is the primary point. They start by saying that Eved or Mamzer, the Shvus Yaakov in particular, says Eved or Mamzer, it's important to know, so we don't fault him for announcing it. But it seems that the primary point is really the latter point, that Eved or Mamzer doesn't change, but behavior, Chavos Yar emphasizes, it was a long time in the past. The Chavos Yar's tshuva was talking about someone who had been involved with a girl when he was young. And in those days especially, there was a major stigma. Nobody was married, but there was a major stigma attached to that. Out of wedlock, he had consorted with a young woman. So someone called him a fornicator, basically. Someone called him a noif, someone who's mizana. And he was deeply embarrassed. And he So the Chavos Yair says, one of the issues was, maybe you'll say, well, it was true, so maybe truth is a defense against any punishment. And he answers, no. He says, it doesn't make sense. Someone committed an indiscretion in his youth. Years ago, he said, he's been in good standing ever since then. He may have done tshuva. It doesn't make sense, he says, that people should be able to throw this at him his whole life. In Europe recently, they're very busy these days with what they call a right to be forgotten. There was a major ruling handed down recently that someone who paid his debt to society or a long time ago, Wikipedia, Google, they have to strike stuff from the record. A person has the right to be forgotten, the right to have unpleasant things in his past forgotten. In the United States, we don't have that yet, but the Chavos Yair seems to be emphasizing a rule like that it's not fair that someone should have a youthful indiscretion, even though it was an avera. It might even have been a serious avera, but it's not fair that someone who did something once a long time ago should have to have this dog him his whole life. Incidentally, the Chavos Yair has a kind of very amusing, rings true discussion in the middle. He says that the defendant who was in the dock for insulting this guy by calling him a mezana, he said, the other day he was at a party, he was bragging about all the conquests he had of girls all around town. He says, I'm supposed to be punished for this. He brags about it himself. So the guy's defense was, I was hanging out with bad characters. We were drinking, harbe chevros, harbe drinkos. People just talk. He said, I'm not really a bad guy. I get carried away sometimes. I brag, he said. But I guess not really bragging. You're admitting to doing averus. But the point is that you don't say, again, b'shalohu rashoi, v'lo b'shal chaveros, we discussed last week, just because he says things about himself, truth is not necessarily a defense against libel, even if he did it once when he was young. Now he's in good standing, and these achronim understand there is no general rule that just because something is true, there's no punishment for saying it. It's specifically talking about Everett and Mamzer, which is a status that stays with you your whole life, and which there's some constructive purpose to publicizing. That's what the Ramah is talking about. There is, however, I believe, a dissenting view who takes the Ramah at face value. That is the tshuva of Rabbi Rafael Ankava, North African Rav. In his Karnei Re'eim, this is a tshuva we discussed, a deliciously funny tshuva we discussed several months ago when we were learning Yari Lomnus or Aniyah Mahapech. The case was, there was a Gentile banker, he owned a bank. He had a Jewish bank manager who was in charge of running the banking operations, and the clients, the borrowers, were also Jewish. Now this manager would take kickbacks from the Jewish customers, and he would give them favorable treatment. He wouldn't outright embezzle money, but he would extend their payment dates, and he would give them credit where they might not have deserved it. Basically, he took kickbacks from the customers to act in their interest against the interest of his boss. Eventually, somebody informed on him to his boss, to the Gentile banker, who was outraged, a betrayal of trust, and he fired him. So the Jew who was fired promptly took the informer to a din Torah and said, "You said such bad things about me, and you cost me my job." So there were multiple aspects to the tshuva. The fact that he cost him his job, that's something I would like to discuss on Wednesday, the question about costing him the job. But beyond that, he sued simply, the post can discuss simply a question of boshes. You insulted me. You accused me of terrible, unprofessional, criminal even, malfeasance to my boss. So one of the many arguments Rabbi Rafael Ankava makes for dismissing the case is that it was true, he says. We all know it was true. We didn't have a formal hearing to establish it, he says, but we all know this was true. We can bring lots of aid and this was true, he says. And the Ramah says, anything's true. You can't sue for boshes about something that's true, he said. If I accuse you of some crime, but it happened to be true that you are a criminal, then don't complain to me that it's boshes. Again, whether that's mutter or lashon hara, he thinks the guy did a terrible thing and he should not have done this. But not saying it's mutter, but in terms of the formal choshen mishpat consequences for it, you can't sue if it's true. He seems to have understood the Ramah kipshuto. This was not something that occurred a long time ago. This was an ongoing practice, apparently, and this was not something that was a personal status issue like Mamzer or Eved. Still, he seems to have read the Ramah at face value that anything which is true, full stop, there's no claim for boshes. Another point I want to discuss tonight is the Ramah spends a lot of time on this cheirim, this idea that there's a cheirim against speaking ill of the dead, being Motzi Shemra al Hamesim. The source for this is various passages.
Isn't there a halacha that for somebody to be yoreh for the teva, for yom yorayim, you can in fact search his past and make it known whether or not he was in discretion or discretionary behavior?
I have to look into that further. Halacha does deal with kol a lot, and yotzel of shem ra, a person who has a bad character, even if it's not formally demonstrable with witnesses. There is such a thing, definitely, in terms of actively searching out or finding things that we don't know about. I would
then have you, to... Then you publicize it, though.
I have to look into that. I'm not certain. So the Ramah refers to this cheirim against speaking ill of the dead. The specific term sometimes is motzi shemra and sometimes is mecharif. The Ramah's language is hamadaber ra, someone who speaks ill. That sounds like lashon hara, which we know is even if it's true. Al shoch ne'afar, those who rest in the earth, meaning the deceased. He has to do tannis and tshuva and based on makes and pay, and so on and so forth. So the language of some of the poskim is motzi shemra. Some of the language is simply medabara, as Rama says. And in the Rishonim, the Mardechai, where this is drawn from, we find both languages, both terms are used. It's referred to as a takana, a cheirim of the Kadmonim, an ancient cheirim, shalolahoti shemra alameisim, shem shochne offer. And as a makar, the Mardechai goes on and says that when God told Moshe he was being punished, and he listed all the things he had done wrong, all the language he had used against Klal Yisrael over the years, you said shlach nabi atishlach, you said loashet, you said imbriya givra Hashem, shimun nahamorim, this week's parasha, and then later he nei kamtem tachas of osechem tarbus anashim chatoim. You've arisen after your father is a bunch of sinful people. So Hashem said, who asked you to talk like this? And Moshe said, well, you talk like that. You Hashem, you called the Jews' names. You said, Machta Sakatayim Ha'ela. Last week's parasha, you called them Chotim. So Hashem said, Ani Amarti B'Nafshosim. I said Chotim B'Nafshosim. They're sinners. You said Avosechem. You insulted their fathers. That's intolerable. To insult their ancestors, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, the dead, the deceased ancestors, that's not acceptable. So there are two basic questions on this Cherem. One is it only motzi shemra as the language of the Mardechai is, or is it even lashon hara as the language of the Ramah is? Again, if it's true, the Chafetz Chaim always tells us that lashon hara, the Chafetz Chaim's most famous point probably in the whole sefer, is that lashon hara is even if it's true. Motzi shemra is a specific category, which is when it's not true. The Torah's example of motzi shemra as someone who accuses his new wife of having sinned, and it turns out it wasn't true. Motzi shemra is the case where it's not true. So the language of the Rishonim is motzi shemra. The Ramah uses the Lashon Medabera. Not entirely clear whether there's an Isser of Lashon Hara on Mesim. B, they call it a Cherem. The Kadmonim made a Cherem. Is there an Isser Mikra Din before the Cherem, or is it only a Cherem? So there's a fascinating passage in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Sefer Emes LeYaakov, which my father always shows me. Rabbi Yaakov says, a student of his asked him. He's talking about the story of Mechiras Yosef, the way the brothers behaved to Yosef, and he says, why does the Torah write such things? Sounds like Lashon Hara. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky gives two terutzim. His first terutz is that we're dealing with the Cherem HaKadmonim. The Cherem HaKadmonim is only Motzi Shemra, not Lashon Hara. And insofar as this is true, this is Lashon Hara, not Motzi Shemra. And the Cherem only extends to Motzi Shemra. So Rabbi Yaakov understands, A, apparently that the Cherem only extends to Motzi Shemra, not Lashon Hara. B, he seems to understand that there's no Isser on Mesim except the Cherem. And once you get out of the Cherem, Lashon Hara certainly applies to the truth, but there's no Lashon Hara on Mesim. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky seems to take the permissive view on both questions. There's no Lashon Hara on Mesim, and even the Cherem is only a Cherem and doesn't have any other Isser, and it's only Motzi Shemra. Yaakov then says another terror that the brothers meant well. Everything they did was L'shem Shemayim. It was Machlokes L'shem Shemayim. They weren't just bitter and jealous. They had reasons why they thought he deserved to be sold. The truth is, I don't understand the entire discussion. The Torah is full of stories about Averis that were committed by great figures, David and Bathsheba, whether you learn in Kipshuta or not Kipshuta. I mean, something happened that was a terrible chait. Everyone's clear on that. Reuven and Bila, it says, Vayishkavim Bila Pilegesh Aviv. Again, however you learn the story, clearly somebody did an Avera, and then Moshe Rabbeinu did Averis. The Torah tells us Averis. There have been endless books, Svarim, written on why the Torah tells us these things. The obvious answer, people usually say, is Toelus. So we learn things from these stories. We learn that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maybe his medaktik in Tzadikim Kod HaSeira. We learn lessons that apply to us on our level. We learn other halachas or other Musar ideas, but people always say the Torah is not a history book. The Torah leaves out a lot of history. The Torah teaches us lessons that are valuable to us. And the standard answer is it's Lashon Hara L'Toelus. And why Rabbi Yaakov feels he needs to have other terutzim, I'm not entirely sure. But in any event, Rabbi Yaakov takes the narrow view that the Cherem, in this first terutz at least, that the Cherem HaKadmonim is only on Hotzah Shemra, does not apply to Lashon Hara. And that indeed is the implication of the Medrash, because the Medrash that Medrash and Mordechai bring says that just because they sinned, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov didn't sin, so why are you calling them Tachas Avoseichem? You're implying that they were sinners too. Also implies that the real problem here is Motzi Shemra, not simply Lashon Hara, and also that the Aveira itself of Lashon Hara does not apply to the dead, only the Cherem, and the Cherem was only Niskan on Hatzah Shemra. Others disagree. Others argue, based on Eliyahu Rabbah, which I didn't fully understand the proof from, but others, other contemporary authorities, Nachum Rockover, for example, Professor Rockover is one of the best writers on Choshen Mishpat in our time, and he's argued that just because of the Cherem, it doesn't mean there was no Isser. He doesn't quote Rabbi Yaakov, but he says that there wasn't Isser, but they used the Cherem to strengthen the Isser, as we find in other areas. They made Cherems because people aren't always scared of a simple Isser. So they made a Cherem. He was actually writing, he was trying to show from a halachic perspective in Israel that something called the Chok Lashon Hara, basically what we would call the slander law, the libel law, is both criminal. The later versions of the law combine both criminal and civil elements. There's a Chok Lashon Hara. So Professor Rockover tries to show Mishpat Ivri style what the halachic background is on this, and he discusses, the law discusses slander on the dead. Halach also has a notion of slander on the dead. It's a Cherem HaKadmonim, and he says, Kanira also, he says, that just because the Cherem, it is actually an Isser too, he suggests, although again, he doesn't have absolute proof. So this seems to be an unclear point, whether the Cherem is limited to Motzi Shemra or even Lashon Hara, and B, whether the Avera, the biblical Avera itself of Lashon Hara, applies to the Mesim or not, or it's only a question of a Cherem, a Takana of the ancient rabbis.